You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is where we're going to be, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So Siena, Cyprus, downtown, turn in your Bibles as well, and let's open up the scripture and look. We're going to journey through 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's an amazing chapter. As you know, if you've been paying attention over this year, we're in chapter 20, verse 20 kind of verses. And if you'll grab your listening guide as well and take some good notes, I put up there another little box for you that's got all the things that we've talked about with the scriptures. So you can look them up and to see what we've talked about as we've gone through these, looking at different places in the Bible of chapter 20, verse 20 in this year of 2020. Because this is a brand new decade, it's a brand new year, and here's the deal. You're going to have brand new blessings this year, and you're going to have brand new trials this year. You're going to have brand new joys this year, and you're going to have brand new heartaches this year. You're going to have things that are going to be amazing that you're going to go, oh, I'll never forget 2020 because of that. And then there'll be moments you'll be like, I am so ready for 2021, and it's only February, and here we are. But to be able to walk through these verses and to see these verses, to get them in our minds, to get them in our hearts, we're going to look at today 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. Now, we're going to start at verse 1 through 4, because I want to give you the context. So we're going to be in the Word a lot today. We're going to be continuing to go through this whole thing and move through this, and we're going to get to that verse 20 in just a bit and to be able to see what it is. But here's what's going to happen. There's going to be battles in your life in this year. There's going to be battles in your health. There's going to be battles in your heart. There's going to be battles in relationships. People you know are going to experience battles. At work, there's going to be battles. At school, there's going to be battles. There's going to be things that come against us this year that we're going to need God's power and God's strength to be able to walk this out. Now, if you remember a few messages back, we talked about that there's inconveniences. That's when your internet goes out and things aren't really well. Then there's things that are challenges, a little bit kind of coming against you. And then there's battles, and battles are moments you either move forward or you move backward. And we're going to look at how God deals with battles, how you and I can deal with our battles, the places that are going to either move us forward or move us backward. Those places make a huge difference in our life. So look in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, and this is what it says. As we're kind of laying the groundwork, here we go. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites and the Termites and all other parasites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, now listen to this, a vast number beyond the Dead Sea from Edom has come to fight against you. They are already in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah who gathered to seek the Lord. And even then they came from all the cities of Judah to seek him. So what's the background of this passage we're talking about? Three different groups come against Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat is a king. It's a divided kingdom at this point. So you've got Israel at the top, the northern kingdom. You got Israel at the north and Judah at the south. Got it now. I got to put it all together. This is about 890 BC is when this is happening. And Jehoshaphat, he's a good king. He doesn't do everything perfect. There's some places where he messes it up, but he's a king after the Lord's heart. In chapter 22, verse 9, it says that he sought the Lord with all of his heart. So he's got all these folks coming against him, and he stops in that moment and he goes, wait a minute, I'm afraid. Do you remember last week what we talked about? What are you afraid of? What's your fear? Are you concerned about your health? Are you concerned about your family? I just realized in my heart something shifted when I was a parent. I'm no longer afraid about me primarily. I'm afraid for my kids primarily, your grandkids primarily. But all of us are afraid of something. So Jehoshaphat, as a king, it makes sense that he would be afraid about battles. He'd be afraid for his nation. So here they're coming against him. Three groups of people coming against him in that moment. Now I want you to turn to verse 15. We're moving along. He gives an amazing prayer. Verse 12 in that prayer is just incredible. 20:12, it says, we do not know what to do, but we look to you. What a great thing. Now look at verse 15, and we're going to see a little bit more as we look into this about a battle. Verse 15, here we go. And he said, listen carefully, all of Judah, all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Underline that in your Bible, what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley facing the wilderness of Jerel. You do not have to fight this battle. Oh my goodness, isn't that good news? Position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Second time we've heard that. Tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. Then Jehoshaphat knelt low with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. So here's what we end up with. We've got three groups that are coming against Jehoshaphat. They're coming in battle. He's nervous, as he should be. And he ends up in this moment where he says, okay, Lord, I'm turning to you. I'm turning to you. He gives an amazing prayer throughout the part we didn't have time to read, but he comes in now at verse 15, and the Lord speaks to him and says, don't worry, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed. I'm going to fight this battle for you. The first thing in going into battles is this: gain perspective and stand firm in your position. Gain perspective and stand firm in your position. Is your perspective and is my perspective a heavenly perspective? Because on an earthly perspective, it's tremendously discouraging, isn't it? An earthly perspective, just turn on the news and just get some intravenous bad news over and over and over and over. On an earthly perspective, on the lower story, it doesn't look like things are going really well. In your life, in my life, in others' lives, in the world at large, there's always something bad happening. But in a heavenly perspective, just as we saw in that World Mission Offering video, let's get to a bird's eye view and let's begin to see a little bit differently. And let's pray and say, on earth as it is in heaven. Because a lot of times we think on earth, in heaven as it is on earth. No, God wants to do something greater. And so we've got to first gain perspective that God is for you. He loves you. He likes you. He's in the battle with you, ahead of you, behind you, hemmed you in, and he's taken you in to the battle. And don't miss the opportunity to trust the Lord. Don't miss the opportunity to trust the Lord. Gain perspective. Remember last week when we talked about fear is either going to move you forward and closer to God, or it's going to move you back. I gave you an illustration of John putting his head on the chest of Jesus, and either our problems are going to push us into the heartbeat of God, or our problems are going to separate us from the heartbeat of God. We want to be people that our problems are pushing us towards God, that we're inviting God into our fear, inviting God into our battle. So the number one thing is to gain perspective and then stand firm in your position. Stand firm in your position. Think about how important it is in sports for somebody to play their position. You got to have a center fielder in center field. You got to have a left fielder in left field. You got to have a right fielder. You got to have a quarterback. Even in football, you can look and you can just look. If this is a person like this, this is probably a halfback or a tailback. That's their position. If this is somebody like this, this is probably a wide receiver because they're going to have to run. If it's this person like this, that's the quarterback, right? If it's a person like this, we know that that's a person on the line. We can tell by the position they're in what their job is. And God has given us an amazing position in Christ, so that you and I would play our position with our spiritual giftedness of how he's wired us, and that you and I would also play our position of knowing in the heavenlies where God has seated us. See, because if you get a wide receiver that gets a three-point stance, it's not going to happen right. You get a quarterback that doesn't know how to take a snap, it's not going to go right. You get somebody that doesn't know how to play their position. You get an outfielder that can't catch a fly ball, you got a problem, right? A third baseman that's scared of a grounder isn't going to work. You've got to be able to have the right position and to know. And I just want to remind you of your position and my position in Christ. In college, I had these two posters, and I hung them up on the wall next to each other. And so I tried to find on the internet where these were. I couldn't find them, so I guess it was just a 90s thing. I don't know. But it's great theology regardless. And I had one, and it said, I am. And it was talking about Jesus Christ. And it had all the names, just the I am names of Christ and all other names of Jesus. Just this whole poster, just filling it up. Boom, 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 boom. And then the one right next to it said, "You are." And it had all the names that were talked about as a Christian. And they were put right there in that position to be able to have and to know who I am in Christ. I printed out just some who I am in Christ verses and just printed them out for you. So here's all the verses, about 100 verses put onto about 7 pages. I'm not going to read you every one. I just want you to know how many there are that we could flip through and we could take the rest of our time together talking about it. Let me just give you a few, and you'll recognize these if you're a person of the Bible. I won't give you every reference, but I hope you'll trust me that these are referenced here. New creation. God's workmanship, a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a holy nation, people of God's own possession. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For you have been given the right to become the children of God, that we might become the righteousness of God. He's the vine. We're the branches. If we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. We are seated in heavenly places. Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with him, and now Christ lives in me. I no longer call you servants, for I have called you friends. God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Christ Jesus, in him, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. If you're children, then you're heirs, and heirs of God, and heirs of Christ. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Because your citizenship is in heaven. You are a part of the body of Christ. And he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And my God will supply every one of your needs through his riches in Christ Jesus. You are the holy ones, holy and beloved, compassionate in your heart, kindness, gentleness, humility, meekness, patience. Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. You didn't choose him, he chose you. Don't you know that you're God's temple and God's spirit dwells inside of you? In him you have redemption and your forgiveness is assured over your trespasses. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ. On and on and on I could go, page after page after page of just saying who we are in Christ. For the first thing we've got to know as a battle is the perspective of God and the position that you have in Jesus. You will not be the first person in history God will fail. His faithfulness is on the line with your life. And his faithfulness will not fall. Now, does that mean you're going to get everything you like? No way. Because if you got everything you liked, you'd be a spoiled brat and you wouldn't look like Jesus, okay? But to be able to let God give us some things we don't like so that God can use that and to form us. So the first thing is gain perspective and position. Gain perspective and stand firm in your position. I could give you 100 verses on standing firm as well. Number two on this is trust God's presence. Trust God's presence. Did you hear in verse 15 through 18 how many times it said, "The Lord is with you" at the end of verse 17? You will not have to fight this battle. It's saying all of these things that you'll stand firm, stand in your position. Trust the presence of God. Trust the presence of God. What is the presence of God? We think about the presence of God as this omnipresence, and it sure is. You could go to the depths of the earth, and the Lord would be with you. The depths of the sea, it says, and the Lord would be with you. You could go to the moon, and God would be with you. You could be in a space station and pray, and God would hear you. You could be in traffic in Houston, and God would hear you in that moment. You could be at your house, at your church, wherever it is. God would be with you in God's presence in Cyprus, in Siena, in downtown, in the Loop. All of us are together right now in the presence of God. But there's a presence of God that's not just a general presence of him everywhere. There's a particular presence that comes through salvation in Jesus, that he dwells in your heart. He lives inside of you. And that comes through salvation in Christ. Now, we're going to see salvation from a battle, an exterior battle. But I want you to know that the biggest battle that has ever been won is Jesus won the battle over sin. On the cross of Christ, the battle over sin was done. He said it was finished so that you and I could trust Jesus as our Savior. So here's what it means. If you're not sure, here's what I want you to hear on the internet, radio, listen up, to be able to know this. Jesus Christ came. He won the battle of sin because he was holy and blameless and free from any sin. He died and rose again from the grave so that you and I could place our faith and trust in him alone. Say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. And now the presence of God indwells you, and you are all of these things that I just spoke of because you've been made a new creation in Jesus. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you placed your faith in Him? That's the number one battle. It's the battle for sin to take you to heaven when you die. And that's only found through Jesus Christ. I told you last week we prayed for a church, a friend of mine in Asia, his church going through the coronavirus type of scare. And I was emailing with him again today, emailed him and said, man, I've been praying for you. Church has been praying for you. Just a little small report. I told you they didn't know what they were going to do today. Just previously, half their church watched online, half their church was in the building. Many churches shut down in the place that he was in. And so they've been praying and asking God to just do great things. And he was very encouraged. And so they're doing some other different kinds of ministry to be able to minister to people. Well, let me tell you some good news outside of that church from our church, how this closely comes to us. 2 years ago, a young lady from Asia came to Houston because her dad was receiving cancer treatment at MD Anderson. So she wanted to be here with her dad, and she moved here to Houston. Well, she got connected with our downtown campus. So way to go downtown, you're watching right now. Got connected with our downtown campus and began to follow Jesus and grow in her faith. We got to baptize her in our church, our downtown campus. She became a member of our church and through baptism, and there she was now a part of our church. Well, once her dad completed his cancer treatment, she returned to Asia. She felt like the Lord was calling her back to Asia. She went back to Asia after all this blessing that we had given her and discipling her and helping her with that, and she went back to Asia, and here's what happened when she got back to Asia. She realized all of this fear that was happening with this coronavirus. Everybody's asking questions about life or death now in these countries that have been really closed off to the gospel in many ways. But now, not saying God caused it, I'm just saying that God's using this. It's a place as people's minds are opening and to be able to have. So here's what she had. She took the opportunity to share the gospel with her family and friends, and three of her family members prayed and received Christ just recently in the last couple weeks to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Is that incredible? Here's an excerpt from the text that we received from her. This suffering is a disguised blessing. Compared to the confirmed and even death causes, I'm more excited about the thriving of the gospel. People are finally forced to be still. People are forced to admit the weakness of humans. This is a chance for all the Asian people to reflect upon our pride and our worthless lifestyle of just busy, busy, busy. I believe this plague is a huge disguised blessing from our Father as the gospel in Asia is thriving. I saw more friends show interest in the testimonies or the scriptures shared in this way that we've been able to share. A few of them even called initially to ask questions about Jesus. So God is using in this battle. Now, do we want people to die? Of course not. Are we for a virus? No way. Lord, stop it. Heal. We want that. But we know that God can use these battles for good. And my point is this, trust the presence of God, that God's at work even when it doesn't seem like it. Now, I want you to look at verse 20 through 21, okay? We're going to now get to our key verse. We've been seeing this happen. This battle's going forward. Now, we're going to get to verse 20, chapter 20. Here we go. 2 Chronicles 20, 20 and 21. In the morning, they got up early. Love it. Early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And they were about to go out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, he's heard from the Lord now, hear me, Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Verse 21, then he consulted with the people and appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. And they went out in front of the armed forces and they kept singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. Here's what happens on this. They begin to make progress. We talked about preparing our hearts for the first two things, getting the perspective, standing firm, then being able to realize the preparation of God. That's the preparation of the play. Now we're going to get the progress. What happens in the progress? They walk in worship and they walk in faith. They walk in worship and they walk in faith. That's what happens now with this progress. They walk in worship and they walk in faith. So now Jehoshaphat stands up and he says, guys, we're going for it. We're going to walk in worship. Now, I don't know a lot about military battles, but it doesn't seem like you should put the musicians at the front. Doesn't seem right. Does it seem like, okay, we're going into battle. Everybody with like knives and swords, back of the line. Everybody with trumpets and a tenor, then, you know, sing on through, right? To be able to come on through. It doesn't seem like that's the right way to do it, but that's what's happening here. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. And when the battle belongs to the Lord, it belongs to Him in the sense of being praise going to Him, letting God be able to have the praise from the foremost first. So what do? When we go into our battles, here's what we do. We walk in victory and we walk in faith. So here's what we can do. You can sing praise even around the hospital bed. You can worship even in the places when it hurts. I have found at times that have been painful in my life, some of the greatest things I could do is to be able to find that right song, that one that blessed me, to be able to really get it in my mind, and to be able to just listen to that and get a perspective. There's something powerful about that worship. I told you a few weeks ago, Kelly and I went through a difficult time, and we just had a song that we sang for months and months. Oh God, you are my God, and I will forever praise you. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And we just sang that every night before we went to bed for months, just being able to gain that perspective to say, Lord, we give that to you. We want you to have that. We want to walk in your way. We want to walk in your power, in your strength. We walk in worship and we walk in faith. You know, next week, we're going to walk in worship in a big way here in our worship services at all of our campuses. Once a year, we do one day that we give to world missions. And so we have this aspect. Now, of course, when you give anything to the church, a part of it goes to world missions. But for us to be able to, on one day, next week, if you're not going to be here next week, then give this week or give the week after that you have. You're going to get a letter in the mail. If you haven't already received it this week or next week, if you're on our mailing list, it's going to give you an envelope. We're going to give you an envelope next week as well when you come in. We're all praying about a number. We want 100% participation. We've gone from 700 people being involved a few years ago to 2,600 people being involved. And so we want to do that. And that means that we could just blow things away and say, wow, incredible. And so we're going to have these and we're going to bring them down. We're going to lay them at all campuses up on the altar and say, God, we give this to you. Second thing I told you last week, parents, involve your kids. Be talking about what your kids are going to give out of their money. Not just what you're going to give as a family, but what your kids are going to give. So we've been talking to our home. What are you going to give? What's God laid on your heart as far as a number? What do you want to do? And for them to come and bring their own gift, because they'll spend my money all day long, but to be able to say, no, I want to develop in you a heart for giving to missions. So we walk in worship. We walk in faith. We gave the numbers last week just as a framework. It takes about $170 to support a missionary for a day, about $1,000 to support them for a week, about $5,000 to support them for a month, about $62,000 to support for a year, $170, $1,000, $5,000, $62,000. What would be something in there you could do? You say, hey, I could do it for 3 days, 170 times three. Well, I could do for 2 weeks, 1,000 times two. What is it that you could do? And just think about that, pray about that and say, Lord, I give it to you. And then let God speak to whatever he wants you to speak. But we walk in victory. And here's what's great about giving. We don't walk in giving and go, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm not sure. This is going to really hurt. $170. You know how many lattes I'm not going to get to drink for the next 2 weeks? No, we walk in victory and say, wow, God, I get to be a part of what you're doing in the world. I walk in faith, God, that you can expand what I have. I trust you, God, of what you can do. And I want to walk in faith. I want to walk in worship. I want to walk in victory. And did you see what it said at verse 21? They kept singing what? Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Let me kind of bring us a little bit of a wrap, and then we're going to get the victory. Three different armies are coming against Jehoshaphat. He's afraid, with good reason. But he says, Lord, I turn to you. God says, hey, don't worry. I'm going to fight this battle for you. You need only to stand in your position in Christ. You need to stand firm. You need to trust me. You need to walk in worship, and I'm going to take care of it. Now I want you to look at verse 24 through 26. 24 through 26. You ready? What happens when you trust God? What happens? When Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, which is just what he told him before, you're going to go to this place and you're going to overlook it. When he came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked for the large army, but there were only corpses lying on the ground. Nobody had escaped. Then Jehoshaphat and his people went to gather the plunder. They found among them the abundance of goods and the bodies and valuable items. So they stripped them until nobody could carry any more, for they were gathering the plunder for 3 days because there was so much. They assembled then in the valley of Beraka on the fourth day, and they were blessed, and they blessed the Lord. Therefore, this place is still called the Valley of Beraka today. Do you know what Beraka means? It means blessing. The Valley of Blessing. What happened? If you were to look, here's what happened. These three armies basically annihilated themselves. They begin to infight. They begin to have all these things happening, and they begin to annihilate themselves. So Jehoshaphat, afraid, scared. You mean there's three armies coming after us? Are you kidding me? What are we going to do? Oh, goodness, Lord, we just come. We pray to you. Our eyes, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, verse 12. And then verse 15 through 18, Lord, we're going to walk this thing out. You're going to be trusted. And God speaks and says, this is my battle. This is my journey. I've got something here that I'm going to do. You just show up on the edge and just look over and see. And watch what happens. And they show up. Exodus 14, 14 says, the Lord will fight this battle for you. That's when they went through the Red Sea. So we see God do this all the time. And they show up and they go, wait a minute, this army we've been fearing, they're all dead because they fought each other and killed one another. Whoa. So what do we get to do? For 3 days, we just get to pick up the plunder, walk in victory. That's our last point, walk in victory. Now, are we trying to promote, go take things from dead people? No, we're not trying to do that, okay? If you're like, yes, finally, I've been wanting that inheritance a long time. Now I'm really going to get that stuff that I've been promised all these years. Not a bit. That's not what we're saying, okay? It's in greed. This is blessing. It wasn't the valley of greed. It was the valley of blessing. And so 3 days, the three armies turn on each other. The battle is finished before it even begins, and they pick up blessings for 3 days. And I got even better news for you. Jesus Christ died on a cross, fought the battle that you didn't have to fight, so you could look upon a hill of Calvary and see the Jesus that died for your sins, so that he could be buried in the tomb for 3 days, so that he could rise again, so for the rest of your life, you could live as an alive man or woman, not as a dead man or woman. And you could have the plunder, if you will, of the blessings of God, because Ephesians tells us that you have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. If God gives you another thing, you need to realize he's already given you too much, and it's a blessing upon a blessing. So we come into a battle that you're going to have this year. You will have these battles. And we come in and we say, Lord, we trust you. Doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Here's what we have victory in. What's the victory? The victory is not in ease. The victory is in God doing something in you. And I have found that the things that are the hardest in my life are the things that make me the most like Jesus. I don't like them. I don't want them. But they form me to be more like Jesus. So when you don't like something, invite God into that something and say, God, would you fight that battle? Maybe you just need to simply have this as an application point in your business or your interactions. If you know you're going to have a difficult phone call, you know you're going to have a difficult meeting, why don't you take 10 minutes before that meeting or phone call and pray and ask God to do something. Keep a little prayer journal and write that down. Many times we're so busy, we're just going from one thing to other, and we jump into these difficult places instead of setting back. What if you just took 10 minutes and just prayed for that 10 minutes, that 5 minutes, and then stepped into that meeting and watched God fight your battles for you? That's amazing. That's what God does. And that's what we want to be about next week, even helping the missionaries to fight the battles, to be a part of them saying, you're not going to believe how God provided. And we could trace it all the way back to say, well, God provided because he moved on our hearts to be able to give to them, to boom, 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 to be able to do that. I fully expect $1.4 million. I think we're going to overgive it. That's what I think is going to happen because we're just that kind of church. And for God to do a great thing in that, let me close with giving you a last story. Does this happen? Can God do things of providence? Well, it was called the Battle of Brooklyn, is what it was called. It was back in the American Revolution. Even if you look on your listening guide, we put a little picture there at the bottom of the Brooklyn Bridge in fog. Here's what happened. The American Revolution, as you know, the British were coming to try to get us to be back on their side. We were saying, no, we want to be on our side. We want to do our own thing. And so what happened is in the Battle of Brooklyn in New York City, the Battle of Brooklyn, there was 32,000 British forces. And they were coming in at three different fronts into Brooklyn to get our 19,000 forces of the Continental Army, led by a guy you might have heard of named George Washington. And so it's the Battle of Brooklyn. They're coming in three different fronts, 32,000 against 19,000. We begin to retreat. Some men from Maryland, 400 folks from Maryland, start to try to head them off just a little bit. Then we all retreat, and the British say, oh, we got this in the bag. We've got ships that are going to come around to the East River, and they're going to stop. If they're trying to retreat, they're going to get right there, and they're going to stop them. So here's what we're going to do. The British decided we're going to dig trenches so that they can't come towards us. We're going to spend the rest of the afternoon digging trenches while the ships come around, and we'll catch them in the middle, and we'll kill them all, and we'll win the American Revolution at this time. Let me tell you what happened. Not only did the 400 guys from Maryland really, really strong, God gave them providence in pushing some things back, there just happened to be no wind that day. And the ships could not sail to come around the back. And George Washington said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get our soldiers out of Brooklyn, and we're going to go across the river. No subways at that point. No Staten Island Ferry at that point. Nothing happening with that. We're going to go across the river in these little bitty boats. You've seen the boats in the paintings. We're going to go across, and we're going to shuttle back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So we're going to shuttle all night long. They shuttled all night long to get the men into basically Manhattan so that they could then go up and out. But morning came, and we didn't have all our men across the river. It's sure annihilation. Except for the fact there was a thick fog that fell over Brooklyn. I thought it was perfect. When you drove to church today, when I drove to church today, there was a thick fog in Siena and Cyprus and downtown. I was like, Lord, you are on my side. You're fighting battles for me. Just give me illustrations in the whole city. This thick fog falls over Brooklyn, and the British wait. It gives just enough time for us to get our armies out, and we head out, and you are sitting in your seat in the United States of America because of no wind and a fog. That's amazing. You should cheer for that. Yes. Yes. The fog lifts, and the British forces come in and go, where'd they go? Where'd they go? Now, in fairness, the British forces then took over New York, yes. But to be able to get Washington and his troops away gave us another day to fight another moment. And I just got good news for you. God's providence is still here. God's providence is still here on our country, on your lives, in our world, in Asia with the coronavirus. God's providence is everywhere. And so we could trust the Lord in these things. So I want to tell you this, lastly, 2020, trust God to fight your battles. You never know why the wind's not blowing. You never know why it's a bit foggy in your life. Trust Him to fight your battles. Number one, on the cross, and then through who you are in Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 20, you will be established. You'll be successful. You'll be victorious in the ways that God wants you to be. Not you'll be rich and famous, you'll be victorious in the things that really matter of Jesus Christ in your heart. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, God, that there's a powerful thing of your providence. We see it all through the Old Testament, and yet we still wring our hands today. Oh, I don't know if you're going to do this, Lord. Oh, I don't know if you're here. Oh, Lord, I'm not sure about this. God, you have had your hand. Thankfully, we can look in American history to see your hand on our nation. We still believe that. You still have your hand on us. And God, we ask for you to do great things here. We love you, God. We pray in our own lives, Father. The battles of health with the ones we love. God, would you fight those battles for us and bring healing? For those in this room, Lord, that they need a job or in downtown or Siena or Cyprus, They need a job. They need restored relationships. They need their marriage to be different and better. Oh, Father, would you fight those battles for us? Provide for us, God. We feel like Jehoshaphat so much. We're afraid. It seems like the armies are against us. We're afraid. We know not what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then in chapter 22, that we sought you with all of our heart, like it was explained over at Jehoshaphat. Fight our battles. I want to connect last week and this week as we wrap up. What are you afraid of? What's your battle? I bet they are similar. Maybe the same thing. Give what you're afraid of and give your battle to the Lord. Right now. Say, God, I need you to show up here. Lord, we don't know how you're going to do it, but we wait to see your victory. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.